I think they like you, Steve.
Hello, hi, welcome to Taco Tuesday.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go. Darling, have no place to go.
Goodbye, 720 WGN, it's Steve Cochran Show. The gang's all back together this morning. Dave Bennett's back from sunny California. Mary Sandberg back from a sanctioned day off. Mm-hmm. I want to make that clear. I feel like yesterday everyone was gone, and it felt like we were a weak team that did not come in because of the snowstorm.
Okay.
Everybody had a sanctioned day.
Mine was sanctioned.
So was Mary.
Mine was sanctioned as well.
Super Joe was worried he'd be in the hospital after going to the Ohio State game as a Michigan fan. And we have to talk about that.
When the snow started on Sunday, I actually sent an email to our bosses just reminding them that Super Joe and I were off. I know, right. Dave, they already know his schedule, but I didn't want them to think that we just would wake up and not come in because of snow.
So. Well, and I think it's funny because Pete, myself, and Steve Grzanich, we live in the city. And so it felt somewhat overblown when you woke up yesterday at, you know, 4:30. You're like, there's nothing on this. Fine.
Right.
And Mary Vandeveld, of course, coming in from the western suburbs.
Villa Park. Yeah.
She was telling us she was living...
Actually, in winter.
Winter, while we were kind of walking in going, what's the big deal?
Oh, I know. You guys were like, la, 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 la. And I'm like, hey, you better not talk like that when you're on the air people are going to be really mad.
It was amazing. They have 13-plus inches in McHenry County, in Woodstock particularly, which will have the Woodstock Choir will be here today. So I feel for them as a... I remember, you know, living out in McHenry County, Wonder Lake, when you get snowstorms in Chicago, and they'd be like, eh, not a big deal. But I would leave Chicago on the Metro train. I was going to Columbia College. I would leave, and it'd be raining, maybe, you know, in a January, whatever. And by the time you got to Crystal Lake, all that rain was snow. And so you're looking at 7 inches on the ground and your little Dodge Colt trying to get out of the parking lot.
Wonder Lake doesn't typically get a ton of coverage, but because of the snow, I kept seeing it on the news. And I'm like, Justin.
Oh, that's
Justin's, town. Right. Look at that. It's getting all the snow.
I know.
Justin.
I should have checked in with some of the old neighbors, see how they're doing, but I didn't.
Yeah, McHenry County is going to still. And I think Woodstock and Bull Valley are still the highest amounts of snows, so they win the race.
Curtis was saying he lived out that way yesterday. Curtis was in for Super Joe, and he had talked about Bull Valley. Bull Valley is a very, at least in what I remember from 20 years ago, it's a very sparsely populated. It's rural, more rural than it's a nice area. It's very nice homes, but so you would have a lot of drifting snow on those roads as well. Bull Valley was always known to us as the speed trap. You didn't want to mess with the Bull Valley cops. That was the the go-to. That's the one place that my dad got a speeding ticket. Like he was so proud all the time. He's the best driver. I'm the best driver ever. And then he got pulled over in Bull Valley, and he gave lip to the police officer, and he got a ticket.
That's funny because I got a ticket in Bull Valley.
See?
Yeah.
I did not give lip, though,
because I was guilty. I knew I had been speeding.
Yeah, so. The National Weather Service says Bull Valley has at the top of the list, 13.1 was the final inch, followed by Ashton, Rochelle, and then Wonder Lake.
Those are like Montana numbers.
Now, Mary and Dave, I saw yesterday people complaining on Twitter that back in the day when they were young, a blizzard meant 20-plus inches.
All right, yeah. Mary, do you want to take this? Because that whole, just the tone of that question, really, I've been gone a week.
Can I set a fire? Can we get around the fire and listen to Dave and Mary tell
and
their stories?
Your point is?
I'm just asking if you counted that as a blizzard, 13 inches, because people were complaining that that wasn't really blizzard-ish.
Well, no, to me, a blizzard is
wind
conditions.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of snow and a lot of wind. And what was I can't even remember, but I mean, less than 10 years ago, we had the bad one downtown. Dave.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That was tough to get to work.
And Mary, remember the blizzard of 79?
I remember the blizzard of
67.
believe it or not, from a meteorological standpoint, the blizzard definition has the most to do with the wind and not the snow. For it to be a blizzard, the winds have to be in excess of 30 miles per hour, and the visibilities have to be less than a quarter of a mile.
I don't know about the visibilities, but
for at least 3 hours.
We had the weatherman on in the 6 o'clock hour, and he said it was over 50 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it was heavy wind.
And maybe we could set up a camera in here for Dave and Mary to tell stories of the 67 blizzard, and then we can sell it to public TV.
I think that'd be nice. A little crackling fire in the background.
Get out my violin.
Documentary, right? Yeah.
We'll make some cookies.
Remember when?
Dave was in swim trunks, though, this whole week anyway. He didn't even see the water.
No, I never was,
no?
By the way.
You were
I wasn't.
The whole time?
I was in warm weather, but I was not in swim trunks.
Oh. I saw pictures of his Thanksgiving in California. It looks way better than being in the blizzard.
It's nice to go outside on Thanksgiving and have appetizers and drinks outside.
Yeah. Poolside.
Nothing wrong
with that.
Okay,
turn his mic off.
Turn it off.
Well, welcome back to both of you.
Dave, thank you.
Thank you.
What's happening?
We're just talking
about the winter.
I insulted Mary and Dave with a question from the olden days.
You know, what you do in the first 10 minutes of the show.
Yeah, what about Steve? He's in that age range.
Well, so I was...
What did you ask about the olden days?
Because on Twitter, a lot of people were complaining that when I was young, a blizzard meant 20 inches of snow, and that yesterday's blizzard wasn't really a blizzard. But then Dave and Mary said it has to do with wind anyway, but they're going to get sit around the fire and tell us stories from the 1960s.
See, this is a problem with social media. All that used to be small talk you didn't care about. Now it's stuff you have to read that you don't care about.
Right.
6:15, we got to do the top six at 6. Still to come on this show because it just started. The Woodstock Choir's in today. Now, these kids are really good, but I was talking to John DeCoste about this. John, good morning, by the way.
Good morning. They're phenomenal.
What if they suck today?
They have
what if all the good kids graduated?
Oh.
They have logistical
issues.
They lost
all their seniors.
Because they can't. Yesterday, Woodstock, Illinois had a ton of snow. They had no school yesterday.
Well, they should have started to come down yesterday. They should have left the house early.
Their choir director called me yesterday, and he was very upset because of their snow day. They had a singing event yesterday at a senior home, and it was canceled as well. So they didn't get their practice run in. So he made these kids get on a 6 a.m. train this morning. They're going
to
get here an hour early so they can practice here.
It's a great
before
place to
they
practice.
Hit the air.
Oh, so he's using the studio here to get ready for other stuff. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
fine.
That's nice. So we can dip into that maybe while they're practicing.
Yeah, it's not.
They got a big show at Jewel on Friday. They got a big show at
the Jewel.
The Jewels.
The Jewels.
Jeremy Colleton later. He's your Blackhawks coach. Would have been nice after that 5-4 win if they could have played like four in a row. Because the momentum's tough to stretch this far, but let's assume they're on the right side of the law here and get things going. Kid of the Week in a few minutes, and Jordan Goodman later. He's got a bunch of money tips for you.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Item number one, do we need to use tear gas on children? Do we need to use tear gas at all when the rush to the border finally happened after the 1,000-mile migrant walk? There was tear gas used. You know, I'm reluctant to question the Border Patrol folks, and the Army folks are already headed home. So we don't know the circumstances there. Kids were running and dealing with tear gas. Well, the whole thing is awful.
Yeah.
And what doesn't help is President Trump saying, you know, tear gas is actually quite safe.
Just stay out of it. He doesn't need to get involved.
So tear gas, not so bad.
But
not
tear
so bad.
Gas is a protocol. And there's a protocol. It's not like a rogue guard who's like, you know what, I'm just going to open this canister. There's as we see in Chicago with protests, there's a point in which there's an equation that says when this happens. Mm-hmm. So you wonder, I'd like to know more about the circumstances leading up to that that would make
the rules of engagement when it comes to tear gas.
You know, we're a country of how many hundreds of millions of people, and these 5,000 people are this big of a threat that we need to tear gas them?
I don't think it was 5,000 people, to be
it's
honest.
Not. I think it was like a couple hundred, less than 100.
Yeah, I think it was about 50.
The question I have about the whole story, and it's not a popular take whatsoever, and I get it, is just... That is one of the most fortified areas of the border across all of Mexico. The idea that 100 people are going to storm the concrete
barrier.
Well,
the whole thing's been idiotic. The whole thing has been idiotic since the beginning of the talk.
What was the intention?
That thousands of people were going to walk 1,000 miles and storm the border, so we needed troops there. It's ridiculous. How about you fix the immigration problem? How about the Democrats and the Republicans step up together, stop making up stories, and then you don't have to tear gas people, including children.
My point was that, you know, there was intent from the 100 people that were doing this. There's no way they're going to get over the wall at that point. So it was a staged protest to begin with.
Well, you don't know that, though. I mean, I'm not saying it's not possible, but you don't know that's a fact.
No, I'm not saying, as I said at the beginning of that, it's my take. But it's a strange place to try and cross a border when you have the most fortified place in all of border security on the border.
Completely agree. Next. General Motors announced yesterday they're going to have to slash 14,000 jobs in North America. 7 plants could close as part of the restructuring, starting with plants in Canada. There's a plant outside of Detroit in a town called Hamtramck that was put in 30 years ago, and a portion of Hamtramck had to get knocked down to build the plant. And they now look like they're going to have to close that plant. I would be reluctant to slam GM for that. If a business opened 30 years ago and today it has to close, it sounds like evolution to me, more so than a corporation trying to hurt a community. In the meantime, it's no good news. And 14,000 jobs in North America, at least in some part, is due to the steel tariffs that have gone on, which creates a cost issue for the company that's making the cars. But to be fair, GM is also going to automation, as all car companies are, at a level they didn't think they'd have to this fast. So more to come on this story. GM stock was up 16% yesterday. Next. It's okay to eat romaine lettuce again. Thank God, because Dave's back from California. I was so worried about you and lettuce.
You know, and I actually did see some romaine out there because a lot of places you would see a sign, we are no longer serving romaine lettuce.
Sure. But see him here too, Dave. We had him too. Mr. California, Mr. International Lettuce Traveler.
Well, that's pretty much all you eat out there.
It's pretty much all you eat, period.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but
the outbreak is linked to the California coastal romaine, so they're probably still under lockdown.
Yeah. Well, when the lettuce ban came up and those signs were popping up everywhere, mm-hmm. I was thinking, well, this is like if I couldn't eat meat. Like if everybody said no meat anywhere.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you're okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'm glad you're okay.
Agency said the romaine linked to the outbreak is from that California coastal region. Sandberg said now it said romaine from elsewhere should be labeled with harvest dates and region so people know it's okay to eat. I thought the way you knew lettuce was okay to eat is when it didn't look like it was dead.
You know, it's ironic. The only place good, the only place it is good from is Romania.
It's the Romanian lettuce. I don't think that's right. Next, FEMA is spending $1.2 billion to repair homes in Puerto Rico damaged by Hurricane Maria. Contractors are alleged to be charging steep markups on everything, like almost $700 for a sink that in bulk should cost $100, $200 maybe. It continues to be a bad story about Puerto Rico, and we apparently can't get up on our own way to fix it, but the investigations are important, and those will continue. And now, this. Let's go to Mars. Steve Grzanich, live from Mars. What do we know about the lander? Did we make it okay?
Steve, yes, here on the red planet. They call Mars the red planet, if you're wondering.
Well, let me write that down. It's the first time I've heard it. This did you so make good. That up? The red planet? No, is that yours?
No, this is what is written on the lander. So it's a little from the user's guide for the lander. It says on the red planet.
I went to the red planet, and all you got was a T-shirt. Yeah.
But no, they nailed it. They did this thing yesterday, and 10 years in the making, 6 months traveling to Mars, and they made a perfect landing on the surface yesterday. And within about an hour, this little lander called InSight has already taken some selfies, and it'll begin exploration within the next few days.
Steve, what is the local community? What's the reaction of the local community there?
Very quiet. Not a lot of activity at all, Justin.
Are they also equally annoyed by people who take too many selfies when the Mars lander starts taking selfies?
To be perfectly honest, we have not seen anybody yet here besides ourselves.
How are the pictures?
The pictures are good. The first picture was kind of dusty from the initial camera, but they're going to remove that lens, and some of the other pictures have been a little bit better. And you know, this thing's going to start digging into the ground on Mars. We've had all the other landers who've sort of been driving around and exploring the place, but this has the ability to dig into the surface of Mars and analyze dirt and nice. Give us a sense of exactly
the coolest thing would be like if you saw a long shot. It's rocky. Sort of looks like the surface of the moon, but it's a reddish color. And yet off in the distance, you're going, is that a Starbucks?
And there was a Starbucks there.
Well, it's like North Korea, Steve. You know, the government's going to want you just to see what they want to see. You have to dig deeper. You got to go find that community.
That's why he's on Mars.
Yeah.
I would like to have been there for the selfie practicing when it was still here on Earth to get the right, you know, high up, outstretched arm angle so it looks best in all the photos.
Well, it's really hard to get a lander, like an inanimate object, to do duck face.
They actually beat the arrival time from O'Hare.
Yeah, it actually took less time. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, here's a fun fact for you. 40% of the missions that have been sent to Mars have failed. Only 40% that have been sent have made it, have been successful. So 60% failure rate.
Well, how many crashed vehicles do we have on Mars? Because that's going to be a cleanup problem when we all have to move there.
Let's see. As I'm looking around here now, it looks like 1, 2, 3.
It's like a junkyard.
Three or four of them over there.
That's why we're sending Elon Musk first.
Oh. And then we'll send cars for kids and they can, you know, we'll collect all the stuff.
Cars for rovers.
That'd be good.
Rovers for kids.
M-A-R-S, Mars for kids.
We're working on that. All right,
next. Last year, the winter coat of choice in Chicago was? Anyone?
That goose down one.
Canada goose.
Yeah.
This year, long lines of customers waiting to enter the brand's flagship store on Michigan Avenue seem to indicate that it's this year's choice as well. Customers waited up to 50 minutes in lines outside the store to pay anywhere from $975 to $1,600 for a parka.
That's crazy. Does anybody have one?
Nope.
My sister has a couple of them.
A couple?
Wow. She does, yeah, because they're good for dog walking. She lives in the city, and they need to bundle. I go from garage to garage, so I don't need that type of a warm jacket.
You know what else is good for dog walking? A coat that costs $100.
Well, this gentleman that is quoted there, he said he had a $600 North Face that didn't keep him warm, so that's why he's upgrading to the Canada Goose.
Or you can do what I do, is the really cheap, thin, puffy coat from Uniqlo that you're like, this is good.
It doesn't work at all.
And you're like, wow, this is nuts.
I got one of those. I paid $169 for it.
All right, everybody, go out and get yourself a $1,600 parka. Clearly, it's the only answer.
It's the only answer.
6:31, and that's your top six.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Super Joe's back, too. I didn't welcome you back, Super Joe. How you doing, man? You okay?
Thanks. How are you?
You need a hug or anything?
No, I needed one on Saturday, dude.
He survived the football game.
I was thinking about you Saturday because I really wanted Michigan to win for you in this Michigan-Ohio State game. And I thought for sure at some point, that who had a game? Was it ABC? I forget.
Fox.
It was Fox. At some point, Fox would have to show pictures of you coming over the wall, running to kill Urban Meyer. But I'm glad you didn't do that.
I was surprised watching the game as well. Joe was really worried about being a Michigan fan in a sea of red. I'm like, it's a huge stadium. We have a lot of Michigan fans. And there were a couple long shots of the crowd. It was just all red. And you could see the maze.
It's like one gold dot.
Exactly. I did tell Joe there's one bright spot to this for him.
What's that?
Because now he can root
all out for
the Wildcats on Saturday against the Buckeyes.
Go Cats.
I'm sure that'll mean a lot to him in the years to come.
Well, it's something. It's a, you know, it's something.
When do you leave for Indianapolis?
Friday.
Okay. Are you doing a show Friday, or is this another excuse to get out of work for you?
Thanks, Steve. Welcome back. Happy Thanksgiving. Good to be back.
Oh, you can give me an answer on that later. Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on the trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not. On a team.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better out their smiles.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
That kid may be my favorite. Before we get to this week's Kid of the Week, it is Giving Tuesday. If you go to givingtuesday.org, you can see a little bit of the history of Giving Tuesday. And also, there are a lot of ways, really, that you can get involved. It's hashtag My Giving Story 2018 if you'd like to spread the word about something you're doing, which takes me to the text line for today. It's not really a question so much as it is a shout-out, and that is, if you've got a charity you want to plug, we can't get to all of them, but I'll mention as many of them as possible this morning at 312-981-7200. So a lot of there's hundreds of smaller charities that never get any sort of pub, and I'd love to help you out. 312-981-7200. Text those in. We'll get to as many as we can.
Steve Grzanich had a guest on this morning on the opening bell, and he's not. It was an Illinois-based charity. Mayor, could you get it? I'm sorry. It helps you if you don't know what kind of charity you want to focus your donation on. It's an Illinois.
Pairs it down.
Yeah, Steve Grzanich, the charity people you had on this morning. What was that?
I'll give ILGIVE.org.
It's a cool name.
Yeah, and you can find the hashtag, too, on social media, hashtag I'll Give.
And that was Illinois-specific.
Right.
Because a lot of people want to help, and they don't know how to help.
And what this group does, so we had, it's Forefront is the name of the group, and they find all of the local, statewide, and local organizations, charitable organizations that are in need, and put them all together in this one spot. There's even like a little tote board there where you can go and see how the different charities are doing. So I'll Give.
Kind of the same thing we're talking about right here.
Yeah.
Text line again, the charities you want a little help for. And there's so many of them that you're already helping out. So let's see if we can spread the word. And let's meet this week's Kid of the Week. It's Rachel Brooks. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Nice for you to be on the show. I appreciate it. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you.
Are you normally up at this hour?
No, not really.
What time do you wake up?
7:30.
So I owe you probably an hour.
I guess so.
So tomorrow I'll go to school for you for the first hour and you come in late.
I wish, but...
Oh, you don't think that'll work?
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, probably won't work. Yeah, probably not. Eighth grader, right? Eighth grade at Cook Elementary?
Yes, sir.
Southsider, and you started a big wave of support at school and on social media, exceeding your goal of $500 in a day of fundraising activities for 1026. That's October 26th. Why is that date important?
It's not really important. That date because... It was like only around the time I wanted to do it in October, so since it was Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Yeah, and
so
I
picked those days.
And you lost your mom to breast cancer, and all this has been the inspiration for you to go out and help others, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, you're a good kid, and I'm sure your mom's looking down and helping spur this along. So she's very proud of you, and I'm sure your dad is as well, because your dad's the one bragging about you.
Yes, sir.
You got any brothers and sisters?
Yes, sir. I have two brothers and three sisters.
Wow, big family. How old are the others?
10. My twin brother is 14. 12 is one of my sisters, and 15 and 17.
Oh, so you're kind of right in the middle.
Yeah.
Are the older ones nice to you?
Not really.
Depends on the day. What's your dad do for work?
He works at AT&T.
Well, he must be busting it, man. That's a big family to support. Good for him.
Yes,
Justin Sadler, our friend Rachel.
Hi, Rachel. Rachel, when you set out to get this goal of $500 and you exceeded it, first off, were you surprised? And second off, what was your pitch? How did you get people to give?
I was actually really surprised that I actually raised a whole lot of money for breast cancer. And I had a lot of support from my family, so that helped a lot.
But Justin,
with raising the money.
You might be able to get some money out of Justin. What's your pitch to Justin?
Yeah, what was your pitch?
Basically, first off, I had to really keep calm and talk to the people. And I had a lot of support from my friends who helped me talk to people and get the money, basically.
Oh, you sound like you got leg breakers working for you.
Yeah.
You're going to go out and get the money.
Shake them down.
Yeah.
Hey, Rachel, when you're not doing fundraising efforts, what do you do in your free time?
Most of the time, I really like baking, and sometimes I cook for my family.
Oh, that's a good pastime.
But you don't cook.
Benefit from.
You don't cook for your older sibs that annoy you, right? I mean, you leave them out, don't you? No. Oh, you got to help him.
That's just one of my family.
Oh, boy. You got to help him, too.
Don't listen to Steve. He's taking you down a bad path here.
No, listen, I'm just asking questions. You got a great laugh, too, so keep that up. That'll get you out of trouble in life, at least a lot of it.
Hey, and, Rachel, do you know where the high school you're going to go to next year?
I want to go to Lane Tech.
Okay. I like Lane Tech. That's a good campus over there.
Yeah, we got a lot of friends, including a couple of people here that went to Lane Tech. You know, Patty Vasquez and Anna DeVlantis are both Lane Tech grads.
Yeah, I think there's like a hot dog stand right over there that I like. Good french fries.
Is that why you want to go? Because of the hot dogs?
No.
Oh, it's a different thing. Yeah. Listen, it's great to talk to you, and thanks for being a great kid. Give your dad a hug, and I hope the rest of your family's nicer to you.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Rachel.
Hold on. Don't hang up. Rachel Brooks. That's Rachel Brooks, this week's Kid of the Week.
I mean, she lost her mom at 10, and then already at 14 is like, you know what? I'm going to do something to raise money.
It's
a
good kid.
It's really great.
It's a good kid.
And she's already knows how to shake down the cash, which is good.
Yeah.
This Giving Tuesday, these are texters now from the 815. I'm raising money for the Schools Count Corporation. Info on their Facebook page at schoolscountcorp.org. Midwest Greyhound Adoption in Sugar Grove in need for 20-plus years. And the list is very long. We'll get to, as I said, as many of these as I can throughout the morning. And I've asked John DeCoste to also do some detective work and find some charities we should not support. So he'll have a few of those, too, just to keep in mind.
Just, yeah.
Like People for Kale. You know about People for Kale?
I don't know People for Kale, but
People for
delicious.
Kale provides kale to Americans, and I'm just a dead set against it.
It's a great, great organization.
Okay, California.
There's some concern, too, that it's not ethically sourced kale.
Ah! So, yeah. Come on. Okay.
Man, he's got that just digging things up.
He's got that story from Mars. Imagine if he was on Earth reporting.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Giving Tuesday, text in a charity you'd like a little publicity for. 312-981-7200. Here's some of the list. 630, Wings of Rescue. They help shelter pets find homes. 847, St. Jude Research Children's Research Hospital. I got to tell you, St. Jude's is one of the most amazing organizations in the world. Families never pay a dime. This is started by Danny Thomas. Marlo Thomas and Phil Donahue have taken the reins and ran with it since Danny Thomas passed. It's just an amazing organization with some of the most cutting-edge research into pediatric cancers, some of the best doctors in the world. I just couldn't be more impressed with them. And I've done a little work for them.
Nobody gets a bill, right?
Nobody gets a bill. Not a penny.
Unbelievable.
But that's one of the reasons supporting it's a big deal, because that money has to come from somewhere outside of corporate donations. 847, our House of Hope Animal Rescue in Libertyville. 847, Live Like Rue Foundation, local charity that helps people support their pets with illnesses. Got a lot of pet stuff here. 847, DVLC, the Domestic Violence Legal Clinic. It's something you don't normally associate with it, but if somebody has taken the step to get divorced in a violent relationship, they may need some legal help and might not be able to afford it, so it's an important thing. 815, the Southern Illinois University Carbondale Ducks Unlimited Chapter. Says look us up on Facebook. I think I might, because I want to know what you do. Is it a charity for ducks? What do they do?
Ducks Unlimited is a major outdoors.
Oh, Ducks Unlimited.
Ducks Unlimited.
I made it one long sentence, didn't I? Combined everything.
You called it Carbondale Ducks?
Well, maybe they're, maybe
SIU maybe Ducks?
Maybe they're Carbondale Ducks. You don't know.
But maybe they are.
So, thanks for clearing that up, Dave. 773. The ALS Foundation. My wife was diagnosed last June. Well, God bless you and her and all the best. And yes, ALS... It is devastating, and we all should support. VetsRoll.org from a 608. We take World War II, Korean Cold War, and early Vietnam vets and Rosie's to D.C. to see their memorials by bus once a year. They're based in Beloit, Wisconsin. VetsRoll.org. 815, the Garden of Eaton. E-A-T-I-N. The Garden of Eaton in Kenosha. It's a 501c3. Grows fresh fruits and vegetables for soup kitchens and food pantries in Kenosha. It's a cool idea.
What a great name.
Yeah. Go Kenosha.org, Garden of Eaton, G-O-E, Kenosha.org. 630, Mutual Ground, a domestic violence shelter in Aurora, and Wayside Cross Mission, also in Aurora. Hope you'll support. 630, Hesed House in Aurora. I love these people. Hesed House, Ryan Dowd and everybody out there. Hesed House is one of the most innovative organizations in America, if not the world, and fighting for homeless folks. And I learned a ton from these people, including for the first time having a light bulb go off over my head that families are homeless, that people that live in shelters as families, kids get up and go to school and they come back to the shelter all while they're trying to get their feet back under them and get their lives going again. But one of the cool things Hesed House did was if somebody is chronically homeless, there's a lot of excuses on why not to get help. It's not a knock. It's just if you can eliminate some of those excuses by way of developing what amounts to a mall-type setting at Hesed House where you've got a health clinic, you've got a treatment facility, you've got a job coach, you've got an employment agency, and they're all in one hallway.
Yeah, that's great.
And you go from one to the other. 6 year, I lost my wife to cancer in 2016. Living Well Cancer Resource Center in Geneva has helped me and my family during her treatment and continues with grief support. They operate entirely on donations. Any help appreciated from Michael. Thank you for letting us know about that, Michael. That's the Living Well Cancer Resource Center in Geneva. 312, the Midwest Greyhound Adoption in Sugar Grove, rescuing any greyhound in need for 20 years. And Schools Count, as I mentioned earlier, the Schools Count Corporation, schoolscountcorp.org, their mission to provide school supplies to kids in disaster areas and wherever poverty rules. Now, John, you have done some research, and your research is a list compiled of charities that we really should not support.
Yeah, I was amazed at how many were out there that I would just recommend don't.
So these are on the no list.
These are on the no.
Give me a couple of those.
UNICEF.
What is UNICEF?
UNICEF was started to create tourism in Yuma, Arizona.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
why would
kids would go door to door with cowboy boots.
That's just
asking
ridiculous.
For money. And the only thing, I think their big thing was come and see our cacti. Right.
That's
and
no it, good.
So that did not work
no.
out. Nap time for Mickey.
Nap time for Mickey. What is that?
Mickey, obviously probably the most famous mouse.
Yeah, Mickey
Mouse. So what
they
want to do is instead of poisoning the mice in your house, you get there's these little green bars and they put them to sleep. They hibernate them. So they sleep for the winter and then they leave, but it has failed miserably. They sleep for about a month and they wake up ravenous.
So it's a gentle way to get rid of
It's a gentle way to get rid of mice in your house. They fall asleep wherever they're at.
It's a terrible idea.
So that one I would they've already proven.
Give me one more.
And then probably the YMCA.
What? What's wrong with the YMCA?
No, this one's a little different. This is the Young Millennium Cash Association. This is so that we give $5, five singles to every millennial so that they don't have to use their debit card to get water. So we're pretty. That one.
That seems really important. Yeah. So they don't have to pull their debit card.
I wouldn't send the $5.
Right. So don't. All right. So he'll keep that list up for us, and we'll keep updating that as well. Coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Grzanich in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
What state is the Republican Party of Illinois in? Well, it all goes to Bill Brady, the Senate Republican leader.
Steve.
No, you misunderstood. State being conditioned.
Okay, I got it.
You thought it was a trivia question?
I thought, is it Illinois?
You've won a pizza.
Yay!
Bill Brady, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you both? Or three of you, I guess.
Doing fine. We got 47 people on the show.
Big studio.
At any rate, I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving.
You too. It was. We had all but one family member home, and that's what makes it fun. And I'm old enough and privileged enough to have grandkids now, so it was great. They came down from Chicago, and they really make it special.
If you were to have every Brady from Central Illinois at one Thanksgiving, would you have to do it, say, at Soldier Field?
Well, there's a few, but you know, it is interesting. Pat and Dan, the state representative, were both in my high school class. We were good friends growing up, so there's a few of us.
All right, so we now have a Republican governor elect, or I should say, a Democrat governor elect. Obviously, Mike Madigan's not going anywhere. A lot of pressure on you. You got to be the leader of the party in the state. So, what do you do to make the Republican Party legitimate in a state where the election was pretty clear?
Well, there's no question we were up against some serious headwinds. whether it be Pritzker's money or some effects that the president has had or other things. But I still believe the people of Illinois believe in what the members of my caucus believe in, and that is lower and reasonable taxes, lower property taxes, good education. I think we've got a message that resonates. But our work is to work with the Democrats across the aisle, to work with Governor Pritzker to try to make whatever policies we can put in place together the best policies for the people of Illinois.
Senator, you, it's surprising to me that, you know, the new government doesn't come in till January, yet we're seeing a lot of dismantling of some of the things that have happened in the Rauner administration, including some of his vetoes this week. Surprising that there were a lot of overrides early in the session. Are you surprised at that, that there seems to be a majority and a fervor to undo some of these vetoes?
Well, the truth of the matter is, if you look at the votes on those bills in the regular session, they were predominantly for the issues, underlying issues. The governor chose to veto it. That Bruce Rauner is a very, particular individual on what he wants to see in legislation. He thought what he did made it better. Probably the choice won't be to make it better, will be to accept the underlying principle or not. And a majority of members voted for the underlying principle. So it doesn't surprise me. Leader Durkin and I worked with Governor Rauner on these issues, and he chose to do what he saw fit. But it doesn't surprise me that many of them will be overridden. He just had a different opinion than a majority or supermajority of the members of the General Assembly.
You don't have to be Sherlock Holmes to note how carefully you chose your words there and discussing the particular individual that Governor Rauner is. Are we missing something there?
Well, no. He's a very disciplined, principled man in terms of what his ideas are. And oftentimes it's not possible to get there with legislation. He's always looking for the perfect, and I don't fault him for that.
Got it. Okay. But Justin.
Yeah, Senator, you know, as you look forward, as you and Leader Durkin are really the de facto leaders of the Republican Party, you don't have a majority in Springfield, and we're back to one party rule, essentially. How do you see it being different than the situations you were in the past, where you were also a prominent Republican when there were Democrat governors? How have you learned from that experience, and how will you take that experience into the next session?
Well, I think what we can do is stand by our principles and work with Governor-elect Pritzker and the Democratic majority to try to do what's right for Illinois. That's underlying. The voters elected us to do the right thing. I do believe my Republican colleagues, and we're Leader Durkin and I are privileged to be the leaders of our respective caucuses. We still have great strength and leadership within the members of our caucus and can work with the Democrats on issues. One of the most pressing issues in front of us right now is the problem we have with our road and bridge infrastructure. I think there's common ground, particularly with the new lockbox constitutional amendment on funding. I think there's common ground with Governor-elect Pritzker, as there would have been with Governor Rauner, and the Democratic majority to work on some, you know, core issues that Illinois needs to invest in the upcoming legislature and General Assembly. There are issues that we will disagree with. I don't know of any Republican member of the General Assembly who thinks that we need to change the Constitution for a graduated income tax. There are many members like myself who are very concerned about recreational marijuana. But there are other issues like a balanced budget, prioritizing our spending, an infrastructure program, a capital program, reinvesting in education and our universities, that there's a lot of common ground on. I'd say probably 98% of the issues. So we disagree and try to make better and try to prevent from happening. But a majority of the issues that we'll try to work together in a bipartisan way to improve this state.
Well, you've been in a position where you've had the ball, and now you can't see the ball from where you are. And I agree with everything you're saying in principle that it should work that way. But we've never lived in a time where it's been more partisan. So have you gotten any verbal commitments from moderate Democrats, if there are any, who said, yeah, we're going to be able to do this?
Well, election night, Governor-elect Pritzker gave me a call and said, congratulations, and I want to work with you. And I want you and your members to have a seat at the table.
Did you take the call so you can play it back?
No, I didn't, but it was a good call. And he and I have had conversations since. about how we can work together. So I am optimistic in my approach. Like I said, there will be issues that we just don't agree on, but it doesn't mean we have to be disagreeable. And maybe it's time to turn the page on what we do in terms of how we work together. We can disagree without being disagreeable, but we can also agree and help each other put better public policies in place. Illinois needs that right now, and I'm committed to doing everything I can, and I know the members of my caucus and Leader Durkin's caucus are committed to doing that as well.
Well, there's no other option, right? I mean, the only other option is we stay on our side, you stay on your side, and nothing gets done. The governor, of course, is welcome here. The governor-elect, I should say, is welcome here. At this point, we've not heard from the governor-elect, but the invitation is out there. As is Mr. Madigan and everybody on the Democrat side of things. But for the greater good of the people of Illinois, working together would be a novel concept, and especially on the big issues like bridges and roads and things of that nature. So give me a time frame.
These are important.
Yeah, of course they are. When does that happen? When do you, or what do you tackle first?
Well, I think infrastructure is first. Governor Rauner put an emphasis on it in the last year. I think Governor Pritzker will put an emphasis. I know Speaker Madigan and President Colleton, as well as Leader Durkin, have an emphasis on it. Sooner the better is all I can say. You reach a point, particularly with infrastructure, where you can't repair it. You have to tear it down at a very expensive cost and rebuild it. We still have infrastructure that we can repair at a fraction of the cost to rebuild. So this is an issue that has been a priority for Governor Rauner, just not able to get something done. I think it would have been his first priority if he were reelected. I hope and I believe Governor-elect Pritzker believes this needs to be dealt with right away. And the members of my caucus are going to try to do everything we can to make sure that our roads and bridges are safe and the best economic investment we have.
I don't even understand why this is a discussion. I mean, I really don't. What do we need? Do we need a bridge collapse with a busload of school kids on it before people in Springfield take it seriously? I don't even understand why it's an argument.
You're right to the point, but it's always difficult to find the revenues. And but we have.
But some things can't wait. That's the point. Some things can't wait.
It's hard to find the revenue when there's no budget.
Right, but if the bridge is collapsing, you got to fix the bridge. Listen, I wish you luck.
You got to fix the bridge before the collapse. We know what needs to be done, and we can't wait for that tragedy.
I wish you luck, Leader Brady, and I'm going to nag you incessantly over the course of these months and the next couple of years because we need you to come out and talk about what you guys are doing.
I'm always happy to be on your show and listen to what you have to say as well as. But you know, it's important to your listeners hear what's going on, and I'm sure you'll have other Democrats who will join you and share. But I'm always willing to, and I our caucus wants to work to make this state the best state it can be.
And do you appreciate the fact that Pat Brady, your cousin, was not on to ask you questions or tell stories about you guys as kids?
Well, Pat may take offense. We're not cousins. We're not related. We practically grew up.
So you're honorary cousins.
Honorary cousin. There you go.
Got it. All right. Thank you, sir.
But I'm always appreciative to have Pat on your show as well.
I don't think that's true. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Bill Brady, the Republican leader in the Senate.
The reason they're talking infrastructure is it's the easiest political thing to do.
But it's a great test, right? Because if they can't agree on that.
What I don't understand is he said that it was a priority to the governor. And I'm like, well, the governor had 4 years. Governor Rauner to do that. So it's obviously wasn't a priority if 4 years went by. He would have done it if he were reelected. This is, you saw it with the Obama. Obama did the same thing. At the right when he came in, the first thing was the public works project. Infrastructure is a no-brainer. The other things he mentioned, the graduated tax, opening up the Constitution, and recreational marijuana, that'll be where the rubber meets the road with Republicans.
I'm telling you right now, if they can't get infrastructure done, it's going to be a long 4 years.
They'll get it done.
They could get that marijuana legal and then use that money to do infrastructure.
That's exactly.
I'd be behind it.
You're absolutely right.
I'd absolutely be behind
it. And I think you'll see now they have that tax is not going to be rolled back or threatened to be rolled back that we are now paying in the state of Illinois. They'll use that.
The most valuable person on the planet and a lot more of the list of charities you guys would like mentioned for publicity on this Giving Tuesday. GivingTuesday.org is a great place to start.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Giving Tuesday. Don't know how to help? Listen up as we talk about a list that's now hundreds of charities long. And we can tell you some places you may want to contribute. Like Shannon Harper, for instance. Shannon Harper's a PR manager for Goodwill Industries. This is a good story. This ought to get you inspired as well. Good morning, Shannon.
Good morning.
You're the most valuable person on the planet.
I don't know about that.
Well, no, that's how I've been. Listen, I've been told by Pete Zimmerman, who finds folks for the most valuable person on the planet. He says you are. I never doubt him.
Well, good. Thank you.
So here's what happened. You know how it rolls at Goodwill stores. Dave, you roll up, and the Goodwill people come out, and they got a smile on their face, and yep. You say it's in the trunk. And you get out, and you help them take the stuff, and they give you a receipt if you need it, and you roll away.
That's right.
Well, listen, what happens if you give them a box, let's say a hat box in Huntley, and in the hat box you forgot something? What was in the hat box? Shannon, you tell us.
Well, when our donation attendant went to go through the hat box to put the item out on the store floor, he found a bank envelope with $2,300 in it.
$2,300 in cash?
In cash, yes.
And that's when that individual threw a huge party for his friends, right?
Well, nope, not quite.
Oh,
not quite.
Well, what happened then? What happened?
Well, he told his manager. We are so happy that he did that. We try to instill those values in our employees, and that just proves there's good people out there. He went to his store manager, and we have a security system up. And so with some quick thinking, our store manager looked at the tape and was able to zoom in on the donor's license plate.
Come
and
on.
Get a license plate number. I know it.
It's like a TV detective situation.
Exactly. So the manager called the police and gave them the license plate number, and the police were able to track down that donor, find a telephone number somehow, and get a hold of the donor, and we got the money back to him.
It's a great story. And this is a particular employee. How do you reward them? A hearty pat on the back and way to go, Bob?
I don't know. They should throw like a pizza party for them,
yeah.
Or I don't know,
right.
have a day that's all about them. I'm not really sure how they celebrated that.
Well, let's have a top level meeting and get that done.
Well, and Shannon,
yeah, no kidding.
This isn't the first time this has happened. Last year there was a value of $10,000 found by one of your attendants, right?
That was in Rockford.
Yeah, up in our McChesney Park store, they found it was, I don't know if you've ever seen those books that you, not really a book, you open it up and it's a secret storage compartment, and they opened it up and it was $10,000 in uncirculated silver coins.
How about that? Well, I think
I
there's
and
two
we
things
got that
here.
Back to the donor also.
I think there's two things you need to know. One, Goodwill only hires good people. And secondly, stop hiding your money, people. You know where your money is.
Right.
They forget about it.
Shannon Harper, thank you for that. You're the most valuable person on the planet.
Well, thank you.
Have a great day.
I wonder if our own Judy Pilak has come across any cash, because she does a lot of work at the Goodwill.
Oh, yeah. She'd keep it. She'd absolutely keep it.
Yeah.
If Judy found money, she'd keep it. She wouldn't even think twice about it.
Have you ever put aside like $2,300 in cash and just forgotten about it?
Nope. Nope.
Yeah, me neither.
Nope.
Man.
Nope. Not at all.
John DeCasse is a big cash put away person.
Yeah, I have.
You've lost money?
No, I have a Winston Churchill picture that I stick money into. It's my secret stash.
There you go. Tell people when they come to your house to rob you which item to take.
Yeah, it's down. Go downstairs.
You want to give your address out now? Or you want to do that later?
No, it's easy. I'm at
847 is the area code. Young at Heart Senior Pet Rescue. These are charities we are asking you to consider supporting that are coming in on the text line. 414, the Milwaukee Athletes Against Childhood Cancer Hunger Task Force, Wisconsin Planned Parenthood, and Wisconsin's Humane Society. 815, the Morningstar Mission in Joliet. And while we do these, John, you have a list of charities we should probably avoid.
Yes.
So these are ones you don't want to donate to. What are those?
Salutation Army.
What is that?
They're collecting money and promoting people to say hello.
So you just take money, and in exchange, they tell people to say hello.
Yeah, you go to a class.
Like
it's a two-hour training, and then you just learn
scam.
How to say hi. Habitat for Humility.
What is that?
These are very, very rich people who have these huge homes that are probably like 8,000 square feet, and then they go in and they build the exact same home but half the size.
That sounds like a really terrible idea. One more?
And then the American National Red Cross.
The bed cross.
Yeah, this is to promote so that every bed, every master bed, has a crucifixion over the top of it.
Mm. Oh,
on the wall.
So that's mostly for Christians.
It doesn't matter. They just
I like
wanted
he
to
said
help.
A crucifixion, so that seems like an active crucifixion.
Yeah, that's true. Crucifix.
Like a crucifix.
Yeah, yeah, it'd probably be a crucifix. A and crucifixion.
You got to get your crucifix.
Yeah. But I knew that Mary right. would I think those crucify are illegal. Me the minute I said that, so thank you.
There's prefix, there's crucifix.
Jordan Goodman coming up. He's got some money tips for you, and boy, don't you need them now.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Jordan Goodman joins us. Long time no talk. How are you?
Great to be with you again, Steve. Happy holidays to you and all the listeners.
And to you. Is the market more of a Six Flags ride now? Is that the phase we're in? And should
it
I be saying what should I be saying we and throwing my hands over my heads on days when it's up?
Yes. Yesterday it was up as a kind of a response, kind of a bounce off of a terrible October and early November. Basically, they're looking forward towards lower earnings next year. The tariffs that are about to go into effect, and I think they are going to go into effect January 1st, 25% on everything coming in from China, is clearly hurting American companies and American consumers. And you saw that yesterday with GM. One of the reasons they're laying off 14,000 people is their costs have gone up dramatically for steel and aluminum, other things, and they'll get hurt further. So,
well, here's
yes,
the thing
that's what the market's telling you.
Here's the thing I find interesting about that story. Is on the same day that went down, President Trump started talking about how he has the magic wand for returning jobs to America.
What is that magic wand? I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, no, I mean, is this like Harry Potter's nightmare? I mean, what wand is he talking about?
Well, I mean, in theory, he's saying if these tariffs and people want to make things in the United States, well, they're not going to. I mean, a good example is Apple. He talked about the iPhones, which are made, the vast majority of them, in China. They employ about 3 million people, both directly and indirectly, making iPhones in China. They are not going to move their factory to Wisconsin. I know Foxconn's got a plant going in there, but it's not going to happen. So
that's a hot mess, too. That's another issue.
No, these jobs are not going to be coming back here.
But whose fault is this? I mean, doesn't he have some responsibility to understand what he's doing before he does it? Because if Peter Navarro is the guy behind the scenes here, his tariff guy, and if Peter Navarro is the architect of this, I think everybody needs to understand the President of the United States gets elected. The President of the United States doesn't understand every issue the minute he takes office, but you do have a responsibility to learn about it before you trumpet it.
He's been on the same thing for years. You know, in the 80s, he was railing against Japan as well. So he's had the same
But it's not the 80s. In Japan? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you got to adjust your viewpoint. You can't be the cranky old guy who's always thought that way.
Exactly. Well, I mean, the theory behind what he's doing is if you raise the pressure enough on China by increasing tariffs and all the other things we're doing with them, that they'll respond with lower tariffs and more trade and all the things we want them to do, they'll do. They won't steal our intellectual property. They won't steal our technology. They won't do what's called the One Belt and Road Initiative, which is they're investing about $20 trillion in about 70 countries and basically take over the world. They won't do that. Well, they're going to do these things anyway, Steve. So the result of higher tariffs has been higher tariffs in response, not lower tariffs. So it just hasn't been working.
Jordan, with the news of GM and the layoffs, obviously this was a campaign issue about bringing jobs back to the United States,
right,
and keeping jobs where they're at. You saw the representative there in Ohio, one of the plants, was complaining about that. But people look at this as an indicator of the economy. Everyone talking about coming off of Cyber Monday and everyone that the economy is going strong. But then you get this news. What should we be taking away from a mass layoff story like what happened with GM?
Well, they saw weaker demand. I mean, the companies respond to demand. If they saw surging demand for these cars, they would not be closing these five plants and laying off 14,000 people. Part of it is kind of a change in taste. The companies are not making or selling sedans as much. People are buying SUVs and crossovers, and these were sedans. They were basically...
Well, it's a perfect time to sell them when you got $2 gas.
Yeah, well, that's true. But also, it's rising interest rates. I mean, the Fed Reserve has raised rates three times so far this year. Clearly is going to raise them again in December, and that's hurting the auto market, making it more costly to buy cars, and clearly affecting the housing market as well.
Okay, but if you're Donald Trump,
major parts of the economy.
I don't want to spend a bunch of time talking about Trump because you know what I'll do. I'll spend a bunch of time talking about Trump. But here's the thing: if you're the president and you stand in front of the world and you say the president, the management team came in from GM, and I said to I'm sorry, forgetting her name, the woman
Mary Barra.
Says to Mary Barra, I was tough on her. I said, Mary Barra, you're going to bring those jobs back. doesn't Mary Barra, if in fact that conversation ever happened, which I'm doubtful, doesn't she look at him and go, Mr. President, you're the reason we're doing this?
Well, she did meet with Larry Kudlow. I don't think she met with Trump, but she met with Larry Kudlow and said, this is the situation. Our costs have gone up dramatically because of the tariffs. Demand has gone down because of higher interest rates. We have to do what's rational. I mean, in general, they're doing okay, but they have what they call it trimming their sails. Well, that doesn't feel great to the 14,000 people that just got laid off.
Well, and here's I'm glad you brought that up, because the story is GM, the Chevy side of GM, is killing it. They're doing great all over. But GM as a corporation makes plans for 2 years, 5 years, and 10 years down the road.
And the company, the cars that they cut, the Chevy Volt and the Buick LaCrosse and all those, are just not selling that well. I mean, there are parts that are selling well, the trucks and so on. But it's a rational business decision. I mean, it's painful. But, I mean, Kudlow's not going to say, you can't do that. This is the free enterprise system, and you can do that. I mean, frankly, in China, they keep things open far longer than they should. These state-owned enterprises are bleeding money, and they just keep pouring money into them. And they're more worried about employment in China than we are here. We've been saying you should not be subsidizing state-owned enterprises in China. But they keep doing it because they want to employ people. They don't want to have what they call social unrest, basically, if you had a lot of layoffs in China.
All right, moneyanswers.org. .org.
.com.
.org. Where'd that come from? Well, it's Giving Tuesday. I'm .org-ing everything.
Yeah. I see.
Moneyanswers.com. Great place for resources, which we'll give you when we come back, about a number of things. So get ready to take them down or pick up the podcast later and take those notes then. Well, more Jordan Goodman in a moment.
To the Steve Cochran Show.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey, well, I need
MoneyAnswers.com. Jordan Goodman rejoins us. Justin, do you have another China question?
Yeah, right after the GM story, Jordan, you saw the president even, say, hey, we're going forward with these raising the tariffs on China. Is when you're talking about finance and money, and there's political cost to that as well, when it talks about raising the Fed and the president going after the Fed and all that kind of thing, will there be any political pressure to make financial decisions? Will the president back off of raising a tariff because another big company comes out and lays people off?
I don't think so. No, he says there's going to be pain before you get the gain. So far, always
started in January of 2017.
Yeah, I mean, January 1st, 2019. If nothing else changes, which is about a month from now, we'll have 25% tariffs on everything coming in from China, which is about $530 billion worth of goods. That, for the most part, is paid by American consumers, because companies pass that on in the form of higher prices.
We get it two ways, because then we get hit with their tariffs coming back.
Exactly. So there's been all pain, no gain so far.
Yeah,
so
genius.
I mean, he's not going to change based on. Now, they're meeting at the end of this week in Buenos Aires, Xi and Trump, and hopefully they'll do more than just shake hands and say nice things to each other. I mean, but I just don't think either side's going to change. So my prediction is the full tariffs will go into effect on January 1st.
All right. A quick lesson from the stock market, because I'm an idiot. And that's why Jordan occasionally says, no, Steve, you're an idiot. Do this.
Money Answers. Things to learn, but you're not an idiot.
MoneyAnswers.com, for the rest of you, there's a special idiot site I go to where Jordan talks me down. Jordan gave me a lead on a stock a while ago called NVIDIA. It's a great stock. It went up about 2,000%.
It did.
And then emotion got involved, and I said, oh, it's got to be fine. Not paying attention to the fact that they had a bunch of Bitcoin technology, and when Bitcoin went down, so did NVIDIA.
So NVIDIA went up to about 280, and now it's about 140. That's correct.
Right. So if I had sold it, say at 250, 240, 230, 220, 210, any of those, it would have been fine. But no, I held on to it. So now I've made $4. Now, here's the rest of that story. Overstock.com is a stock that's been killed. However, correct. Overstock is involved in something called blockchain. Blockchain is a huge deal going forward, and now it's starting to inch up as that blockchain technology comes forward. This is why day traders jump off bridges. Exactly. I'm not one. I never would be one, but you really can't just get an online broker's account and make money unless you really want to dive in.
You can put in stop loss orders, as they call them.
Right.
So if the
explain what a stop loss order is.
So the stock's at 280 and you're worried to protect your profits, so you put in an order to sell it at 250 or something.
Stop the loss.
you're stopping the loss. So if it goes down to 140, you protect your gains that way. So that would be a simple. I mean, NVIDIA is still a great company. They make the chips that go into these cryptocurrency mining operations, basically, is what's happened. And that's a smaller part of their market. Bitcoin has just collapsed recently. It's down to about $3,500. Remember, a year ago, it was about $20,000.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have lost a lot of money.
Yeah, 80%.
Cryptos.
All right, let's talk about a couple of resources here. Kids are back in school, about to take Christmas break, and parents are going, oh, I got to pay for another semester. Tuition is through the roof. Colleges are really need to be regulated, but that's my sermon. So what do you do about paying off college debt?
You got to refinance it to a lower interest rate. Now, this is after you're out of college. You refinance it. There's a place called Credible that can help them do that. Credible.com/moneyanswers. They get $200 off their first payment, typically in the 2-3% interest rate instead of 5, 6, 7 private loans, 10% plus. So refinance all the private loans and federal loans into one and save yourself a bunch of money.
All right. Now, can you refi while the kid's in college?
No. You've got to do it once they're out.
Okay.
Once they're out.
Yeah,
what's your take? They're still paying more.
What's your take on 529 plans? You like them?
Yes, they are. It's a good way to play. You can put, I think it's up to $5,000 in Illinois. It grows tax-free as long as you take the money out for college use, totally tax-free. So that is a good way. Start when the kid's young.
Credit cards. Every day, the fine people at United and every other airline on the planet sends me a free credit card offer.
Yes.
And I'm going to be able to get all the miles I need if I ever need to fly to Singapore and back in one day.
Well, miles are good, but the interest rate is very high.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. So you've got a credit card source, which I've always used and really like.
Sure. That's what's called GuideToCreditCard.com. That's a free website that all the best deals. If you want frequent flyer miles, fine. Just pile them up on one particular airline. But just realize that if you use that, you're going to revolve your balance. It's going to be one of the highest interest rates out there, as well as retail cards are, 25%, something like that. If you get rewards, fine. But there are other cards with lower interest rates. And with rebates, you can get like 5% back. Depending on what your needs are, concentrate your spending on one or two cards that are going to give you the best possible deal. A place to help you there, GuideToCreditCard.com. And if you're behind, if you don't want new credit cards and you're just piled under in debt, as people are these days, go to a nonprofit credit counseling place. They can get you out of debt, 6, 7% interest rate, something like that. My favorite place called Cambridge Credit Counseling. Their website, CambridgeCredit.org. They're a nonprofit group that can help a lot of folks. Yesterday was an all-time record high in credit card use. $7.8 billion was sold online on Cyber Monday. So a lot of people going into a lot of credit cards.
And the good news is $200 of that's going to get paid back.
Exactly.
So that's great. And before we run out of time, on this Giving Tuesday, there's something you do with American heroes that you want people to know about. What's that?
So heroes are considered military, both current and veteran, doctors, fire, police, EMTs, teachers, all those. They can save a ton of money on any real estate-related transaction. When they buy a home or when they sell a home, they get a rebate of 1/4 of the realtor's commission, which can be thousands of dollars, and they get discounts on closing costs, things like appraisals, title search, all those kind of things. There's a nonprofit group called Heroes Come First, and their website, heroescomefirst.com. They got a phone number to 888-437-6114, and they'll refer you to a realtor or appraisal, all the people in your area that are part of that program, and literally can save heroes thousands of dollars when they buy, sell a home, or get a mortgage, or refinance a mortgage, even on a second home, something like that. Save people a lot of money.
We've barely scratched the surface, so go to moneyanswers.com yourself and get some of these resources and make a note of them, because you are definitely going to save money. And thank you, Jordan Goodman.
Always glad to help. I'm glad to get emails from you folks as well. Thank you, Steve.
And he answers all the emails right there at moneyanswers.com as well. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's where Steve is next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey.
Dean Richards live at Channel 9 on Giving Tuesday. Good morning, Dean.
Happy Giving Tuesday, Steve.
John, we got a list of charities from the listeners coming in. It's great stuff. I volunteer with Making a Difference Rescue, helping homeless pets find forever homes, Special Olympics Illinois, the Rotary Foundation in Evanston, Anderson Animal Shelter, a no-kill shelter in Kane County, the College of Lake County Foundation Scholarship. Students get an opportunity to go to school but couldn't otherwise afford it. The Forgotten Initiative, supporting foster kids in foster care. These are just some of those that have come in. And our own Kevin McDonough from the sales department here, he's one of the sober ones, represents or would like us to know at least about Pat Max Pack, fighting pediatric cancer. You can go to @PatMaxPack.org.
We also have a friend of the show, Sandy Jacobson, who does Boxer Rebound, Inc., BoxerRebound.com in Ringwood, Illinois. And our own WGN staff is going to be ringing the bells for Salvation Army today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. They might keep some of the money.
I know. Pete is doing it. I believe Mary, you're
Pete be? McMurray?
Pete Zimmerman.
Oh, well, Pete McMurray's always standing in the lobby waiting for an assignment.
Yeah.
I'll be in front of the Blackhawks.
Oh, Pete Zimmerman will be fine. Yeah, Pete Zimmerman's on us.
Yeah. In front of the Blackhawks store. Woo.
Sure. No, it's great. It's a nice thing to do. But Dean, John is giving us a list of charities we should not support, and I want you to know these are out there as well.
I would think that there would be such a thing.
Yeah. What do you got, John?
This Rich Food for the Poor.
Rich Food for the Poor.
Yeah. Chateaubriand, shrimp cocktail. They're raising money to have this delivered to them. And
that's a terrible idea.
The American Canker Society.
What?
Yeah, that's the research and developed to stop canker sores.
Those are very painful. Yeah.
That actually sounds important.
I love
and
that.
And then Planned Parents in the Hood.
Wait, what?
Planned Parents in the Hood. These are just parents who will yell at gang members and go clean up your room and get out.
Pull up your pants.
Pull up your pants.
Yeah. All right.
Maybe should make an effect, but I don't think it's going to work. I would not donate.
Really?
To those.
I gave $25.
For which one? Planned Parents in the Hood?
Planned
Parents. Was the Yuma one you had earlier?
UMICEF?
Yeah, UMICEF. John, do you know about UMICEF?
Dean, do you know about UMICEF?
Do I know?
Yeah.
Dean, do you know about you with Seth?
It was to create tourism in Yuma, Arizona. Come and see our cacti.
He said kids were going door to door.
With boots, with Western boots to collect the money.
These are charities you shouldn't support, Dean. Or is it John? I forget who you are.
Seem more important.
I'm a big
supporter of the Neediest Talk Show Host Fund.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. One of them I would suggest, Chunky Wonky, which is chunky peanut butter. That's a big thing now.
Is that right?
No, that's okay. Just, that was Dean wanted that.
Pete McMurray and David Plyer are.
I do like peanut butter. Thank you for the reference from last week.
You're welcome, Dean.
Dean, Pete McMurray and David Plyer are getting together with an organization that's, I don't know what the acronym is, but it's Hope Steve Dies. And then they're going to fight over the morning show. All right, here's what's coming up on the big list. Oprah's mom has passed. He'll talk about that. Amanda Bynes is in the news. Award season is underway, kids. And there's a new version of a Queen hit, you'll know, that you've been singing to yourself forever. J-Lo in the news. We'll see how much of that we get to coming up. Is there anything going on at Channel 9 we need to know about? Everybody all right?
It's a quiet morning here today. It's a calm after the storm.
Hmm. You know, Larry show up for work today?
With the storm. No Larry today again.
What, you think it's the drinking, or what's keeping him out of work?
You know, Steve, we've just come out of a horrific storm here in the Chicago area.
He still thinks he's snowed in? Is that what's happening?
He does not understand the first rule of fake calling into work, because you don't want to come in on a snow day.
Yeah, you got to make sure that you have
timing,
that covered.
Timing is so important for those kinds.
He makes enough money, he should hire someone to call in for him. You know, there's a lot of out-of-work actors in Chicago could use that gig.
I'm sure his butler was the one that actually called him.
Jeeves?
Jeeves.
Remember, they're all named Jeeves.
You'll be calling his name. Oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor. Channel 9720.
I do. I drop off a fruitcake at Dean's for the holidays. And this is what his doorbell is. He hit his doorbell in the song place.
That's pretty cool.
So
it's annoying on Halloween.
Song keeps starting over and over again. John DeCoste has a question for you, Dean, if you're taking John DeCoste questions.
May I see your morning show credentials?
Yes.
Because I've heard that yours had been...
My badge is right by the mic. Can you see it?
Yes.
Fake John. Okay, fake John.
Keep the intern near the microphone in case he gets out of hand.
I want to compliment you. Dean, when did you actually do that Gar Ray and the Bozo show?
Bozo Gar and Ray.
Yeah, Bozo. Yes. When was that?
Classics.
Here we go.
We produced that in 2005.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And I'm going to tell you something. We watched it, and you have not changed in 13 years.
Aren't you fucking?
That's a fact.
You're saying he's a bit of a Benjamin Button? See, aging in reverse?
Just like you. I like hearing you say Benjamin Button.
Benjamin Button.
You know, here's the thing, Dean. You've already agreed to New Year's Eve, so that's not even a suck-up.
Yeah, no.
No, I'm serious. It's the truth.
By the way, since I brought up New Year's Eve, what are we doing?
New Year's Eve at the Tivoli. This is our 18th year, third year at the Tivoli. But Dean Richards will be there.
Entertainment editor.
Do I like him? Yes, I suppose so. I saw the show on the show called Bozo.
Oh, will that be a live performance?
That could be. That could be. Rocky Laporte from The Tonight Show. You, me, Tim Banker.
It's going to be a funny show.
Yes.
Funny show.
Eventbrite.com.
Well, let me ask you a question. Why would you wait to buy tickets? Why wouldn't you just check that off your list? This is a busy, stressful time. Just get your tickets today.
Yeah, and this one's going to sell out. So
it's Giving Tuesday.
Quickly.
Yeah. It's Giving Tuesday. Give to us.
Plus, aren't you in the middle of your Black Friday week?
Yes. No, we just finished that.
Yeah, we finished it on Friday.
We just finished that on Friday. Friday to Friday.
But the ticket price is too low anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, the regular ticket price is great.
Whatever it is, it's priceless.
What was it, $50? On New Year's Eve? You can't go anywhere in $50. You leave your house on New Year's Eve to check your mail. It costs you $50.
It's priceless to be part of the show.
It's going to be a good night. And,
I'm going to need a ride out there, by the way, if anyone's headed that way.
I got it.
No, I meant listeners.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
He wants to ride with them.
Anyone's headed there from the city.
All right, so Oprah's mom, had she been sick?
I had not heard any illnesses related to the death of Vernita Lee. She was 83 years old, so really not that old. But she passed away on Thanksgiving Day. They've already had a private funeral. But Oprah put out a statement yesterday saying, "Thank you for all your kind words and condolences regarding my mother, Vernita Lee's passing. It gives our family great comfort knowing she lived a good life and is now at peace." But she had, I mean, it was a tough life. She lived her life as a housekeeper throughout her life. She had four children, had to put one of them, a younger than Oprah daughter, up for adoption. Oprah herself lived with her grandmother and other relatives because her mom, you know, couldn't take care of her kids. You know, pay for all the kids.
I certainly know the name because I've heard it discussed through the years, but I can't think of a single time I've seen Oprah in pictures or at events or things with their mom. What was the state of their relationship?
I remember when there was when they got together once. But I don't remember it being an overly close relationship. I think really, you know, because Oprah's talked about her father quite a bit and her grandmother quite a bit who raised her. So I don't think it was that close of a relationship until fairly recently when they were reunited. She was only just recently reunited with her sister who was put up for adoption.
Is that the woman that she lived in Milwaukee or something?
Vernita Lee, the mother, lived in Milwaukee.
Okay. Yeah. I've got one for you before we continue and before I forget. Our friend Dennis DeYoung is going to be on the WTTW pledge drive tonight. He's got a show coming up. He's going to be on helping raise money for Channel 11. Justin, you must have done a ton of those.
I did a ton. I've never done the public TV, but I've done public radio pledge drives out the wazoo.
So Justin has a little trick when he does the public radio drives.
Like, what would you ask for?
He would pin towns against each other.
I would exploit my knowledge of the Chicago area, which was very rare at public radio. They're like, what? There's something outside of the lake?
Right.
And I would then say, hey, we got a call from Naperville. Oh, that must really rile you up, Aurora.
Right.
And that would what I would do.
Hey, Aurora, I don't like the way Naperville's looking at you.
Oh, it's crazy, Valpo, that Chesterton just gave $60. And that's how I would do it. It would work. People would be like, Skokie'd be like, I'm not letting Evanston win this pledge drive.
Just Chestertonians.
Dennis DeYoung, I hope you're taking notes, because Justin just gave you the inside tip.
Sailing away.
We're going to get him on a show. He's been on forever.
Dennis DeYoung is a very entertaining
person. He's a great guy. You know,
he'll sound great in our new performance studio.
He would. Yeah, he'd probably want me to sing with him. You know Dennis DeYoung's funny?
Mr. Roboto. Steve, take it away. Mr. Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto.
That's the word I used when I won the spelling bee. Domo Arigato. here's how you know Dennis DeYoung's funny. He's funny on voicemail. That's the ultimate test if you're funny. If you're funny on voicemail, you can be funny anywhere.
He really just amuses. He goes for amusing himself. And if anybody else happens to hear the jokes at the same time, it's just an extra added bonus.
Well, it's going to be good tonight. Channel 11 is going to be jumping. What?
I hope they're showing the six-hour documentary on Greeks in Chicago.
What's going on with Amanda Bynes? She was messed up forever.
She was. She was one of the hot young stars for a very long time and fell into a pattern of drug use. For which she has really been out of the scene now for 5 or 6 years.
Almost died, right?
Almost died. She went into rehab several times, but she says that it caused her to spiral out of control. She lost her career. She lost everything as a result of this. And said it all started when she was 16 years old experimenting with marijuana, ecstasy, Molly, and Adderall.
Wow.
At 16 years of age.
Those are very different drugs, by the way. You put those all together, and she's like, I'm experimenting.
That's a bad slushy. Do not order that.
I hope that was not all at the same time. One could be more difficult enough, but she's been sober for 4 years now, which is great. She's enrolled in fashion school in New York and says one day she hopes to get back to acting, but is taking it one day at a time, so that's nice.
Dean, I was happy to read that she said that her family was the greatest support because, when she was going off the rails, there was a lot of criticism of her family because she was saying things on Twitter and stuff about her family that weren't true. And so I thought maybe they were the destructive ones, but it was nice to know that they rallied behind her.
Rallied behind her, and she has readily admitted that she should never have been on Twitter at all. That hastened her demise back then.
We can say that for about 95% of Twitter.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Kim Kardashian yesterday, we bring up Kim Kardashian because there's a federal law that you have to. Kim Kardashian yesterday said that her first marriage, she was on ecstasy. The only reason I'm laughing is because only the Kardashians. She was on ecstasy when she got married the first time. Wasn't that the basketball marriage?
Yes. No. Yeah, that was...
That's Ray J. She's talking about the
one before that in the year 2000.
Ray J, the sex tape guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what we're talking about? I thought the story was... I only read the headline, so that's... I'm not keen on knowing the facts on this, that she says she was on drugs during that sex tape, and he's saying,
she did
no,
ecstasy once,
no,
and then she did ecstasy again when she did the sex tape.
Yeah, and he's saying, no, you're rewriting history. Yeah. You were sober for that.
But you don't have to call him Ray, and you don't have to call him Jay.
By the way, if you're looking forward to more lines from Laughing, you're going to do those later?
New Year's Eve. I do a whole Ruth Buzzy segment.
Anyway, Kim Kardashian has cleaned up her act. Is that the messenger?
I don't know. You brought it up.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Do you mean Amanda Bynes? Amanda Bynes has cleaned up.
No, I'm talking about Kim Kardashian and the ecstasy.
I cannot speak for her mental state.
Well, can you call her right now? We'll hold.
Hang on for a sec. Hang on one sec.
And what's the new version of Crazy Little Thing?
We love this. Everyone's got the Freddie Mercury fever right now because of this movie, Bohemian Rhapsody. What was the name of the group that did that amazing version of Bohemian Rhapsody? At the award show.
Panic at the Disco.
Panic at the Disco did that amazing version of that. Now, one of the top country stars, Mary, has done Crazy Little Thing Called Love. Give it a little listen, see if you know who it is.
Do we have it?
We're not. It's to be cool, be like, get hit, and get on my tracks, take a back seat. Take a long ride on my motorbike until I'm ready.
Brings a little thing called. It's a guy from The Voice.
It's the White Yoke Cow.
Oh, you think it's Blake?
It's Blake Shelton because everything's Blake Shelton.
No, not Blake Shelton.
It's not Blake Shelton.
You know Mary? Because you know country.
Travis Twitt.
I do know. It's Paris, Illinois born.
That's right.
What's his name?
Mr. Brett
Eldridge.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of him. Oh. I think he's got a great voice.
You sure it's not Blake Shelton? Because Blake Shelton does everything.
I'm sure. Okay.
From Paris, Illinois, downstate Illinois. And did you know he studied at Elmhurst College? I never
knew that.
Well, for heaven's sake.
Yeah. He's going to be like, no tell. He's going to be at the Chicago Theater week from my word. He's going to be at the Chicago Theater week from tomorrow.
All right, buddy. Thanks for all that. I really feel like we didn't learn anything, and that's our goal here on Moron Entertainment.
Tivoli Theater, New Year's Eve.
That's right. If you want to learn less, join us on New Year's Eve.
That's all we have to say right now.
Great pitch.
The most awkward ending of this segment ever, and we've had some pretty awkward endings.
It's like a
endings.
Saturday Night Live sketch. It just ends.
That's
it's 8:32. It's headlines times.
Camp wins it to Schmaltz, to Gustafson, right point, closing in, top of the right circle. Shoots, he scores! Hawks win it overtime! Gustafson with a rocket from the top of the right circle beats Reimer.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Jeremy Calton is your Blackhawks head coach, and coach, congratulations on that win. I got to tell you, I was very busy, and I clicked on the score, and I saw 4-2 again. I'm going, oh, can you just come back and win tonight? Just do it for me. Next thing you know, there's 1 second left, Dave. One second.
Yep.
And a snapshot ties it, and you win it in overtime. What a great win, coach.
Yeah, I'm glad the boys could come through for you.
Exactly. It's nice of him to step up.
If you know, that's all it took.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The best thing in the post-game interview, Jeremy said, well, hey, it shows when you play that hard, then it works, you know? So, like, obviously, if you play hard.
Just to, with 1 second to go, to have the puck on your stick and to be able to instinctively react that way, because if DeBrincat pauses at all, it's over.
Yeah, he's got quick hands, and as you said, in that moment, you know, to be he had it was on his backhand, he got it to his forehand, and he got it to the net. It wasn't thing went off the stick potentially, but at least he gave himself a chance for it to go in.
Yeah, it was cool. Now here's the thing: I was hoping you guys would have about 8 games in a row after that because it was such positive momentum. Is there such a thing as keeping momentum going a few days later like this?
Yeah, it's. I mean, it hasn't been that long. You know, they had the day off on Sunday, and then we practiced yesterday. So I think, you know, that extra day was needed just to recharge after the flight and whatnot. But I think it was nice to bring home some positive energy, and you know, we got a chance to keep it going here today. So hopefully the boys come out with some pace and some speed, and we can keep it going.
Well, you said goodbye to Nick Schmaltz over the weekend. You have two new players who were on hand for practice yesterday. What are your plans for those guys, and what are your expectations?
Hazing. I would think hazing would be first.
I don't think that's hazing, no.
Not for me, anyway.
Right.
But, they're going to they'll go right in, and both those guys we're excited to have. We think they give us some more depth up front, both big bodies, and different players. You know, Perlini's more of a, you know, he's got speed, more of a direct game, big shot. Strom, a little more skilled, more of a thinker out there, reads the game really well. So they add different things to our team, but they both add depth and some competition in our group, and that's a positive.
Coach, you've coming up in the month of December, there's a heavy dose of divisional games. You've got a couple with the Predators. You've got the Jets, of course, coming up here. That really, for fans, for Blackhawks fans, is a litmus test because the division is so strong. Do you see it the same way, that we'll know more about this team after running the gauntlet of playing these division games coming up the next month?
Yeah, I think that's right. As you say, it's a very strong division, and it's it'll be a test for us to see where we're at. The positive is if we are able to have some success, we can climb the ladder because it's a lot of head-to-head, and these are the teams we're battling against for position. And you know, we've been going here for a few weeks, you know, chipping away, trying to get better every day. And I think the key is for us to have our game at a place where we think we can compete every night, and I think we're getting closer to that.
And Stan Bowman made a good point in the press conference yesterday, I think it was, when he said, listen, we don't want to see Schmaltzy go, but you got to give something to get something. We had a chance for a 2-for-1 here, so we feel good about it. Who gets the Schmaltz spot? What do you do about juggling here to take those minutes?
Yeah, no, we'll rejig the combos here, so I wouldn't say, I think they'll both kind of get those minutes. And it's, I said to both of them when I was able to speak with them yesterday, you're going to earn what you get. And that goes for the whole group. You know, you play well, you get more. If the other guys are better, then you're going to get less. And that's just the way it is. But that will push everyone to perform at a higher level day to day.
Penalty kill, power play, how you feeling?
I think they're both getting better. I mean, the results still aren't there. But when we watch it, we feel like we're taking some strides, and it can have such a positive effect on our team if we can get those going. You know, right now we're in the bottom in both categories, so there's a lot still to get out of both those, you know, situations. So we're going to keep working at it. We work on it every day almost, but I do feel we're moving in the right direction, and when we do get it, you know, not perfect, but where we want to be, I think it'll really help our team get results.
I saw on the NHL Blackhawks Instagram story yesterday that because there was a lot of snow days in the area, that there was bring your kid to work day. Did you bring your kids into practice?
No, unfortunately. They're in Rockford right now.
Sure.
So they had a snow day there too, and they were in on the weekend. So I saw them Sunday, but they went home Sunday afternoon, and we were all wishing that they wouldn't have done that because they didn't have school anyway. But they'll get their chance to come to work once we get in Chicago.
And how old are the kids?
6 and 4, and then the newborn. Newborn's not quite ready to come to work yet.
Does the newborn have a sweater yet?
She does. Yeah.
I hope she has one of the Winter Classic sweaters, because those are the coolest ones.
Yeah, we haven't dabbled there yet, but I'm sure we will.
The 6-year-old, being in school, I hadn't even thought about that. But that's, you know, Coach, you're not asking for this, but I give you credit for that. It's hard being away from your family, in the middle of doing all this. But then again, I guess it gives you time to focus 120% on the gig, too.
Yeah, well, we've been on the road quite a bit. So, you know, whether they were living here in Rockford, I'm not sure I would have seen them much more. But, you know, they're... The 6-year-old, he's battling right now.
Sure.
But the 4-year-old, he doesn't care.
4-year-old goes, hey, yeah, come home when you can. Yeah. More exactly. Food for me. Dave, last word.
You get Vegas tonight. You're going to see the Golden Knights twice, I think, in the next 9-10 days. This is a team, they were a great story last year. First year franchise, went all the way to the Stanley Cup final. It hasn't been quite as easy for them this year. Do you see it? And they've been better lately, though, and they got back-to-back shutouts coming in from Marc-Andre Fleury. You see any difference with them this year?
Yeah, I didn't see them so much in the beginning. You know, obviously they didn't have the start they wanted, but they've been much better lately. They have their identity. They're going to play with a ton of speed and pace and pressure and come at us. And, that doesn't seem to have changed. And as you say, they're playing better lately. So it'll be another good test for us. And, hopefully we'll respond.
You know, Coach, I'll let you go on this, but and you don't have to commit if you don't want to, but you see all the buildings and I don't. Is there a dumber pregame opening than the Vegas Golden Knights?
I haven't seen them all yet.
Okay, good answer. Good answer.
I'll take the fifth.
Nice. Good answer. You are good. Jeremy Calton, head coach for the Chicago Blackhawks. Have some fun. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks a lot.
That's it. All right. I like him. I like him. I know the rest of you don't, but I like him.
No, I thought that was great. That was a great answer.
I don't like him. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just.
No, I'm with Justin.
Well, we've all been very positive with him. I like him.
This is a big month. They got some big games. They're going on the road against the Jets and the Preds coming up here. We'll know a lot about the Blackhawks.
You can't look past tonight.
No, there's the
one game at a time. Is that what?
Yeah, Dave, you're the one that takes them one game at a time, and I'm the one that always says, "God willing, and the creek don't rise." Let's look ahead.
I don't know. With Matt Nagy and Jeremy Colleton, it's very exciting in the city right now with these two young guys that are no coaching egos. They just tell it like it is. They expect good play from their players. It's very exciting.
Right, throw a Joe Madden in there. You know, with this cool
all the same age,
hipster, young coach Joe Madden.
His bus that he drives around in, whatever that is.
And the White Sox with their manager in the witness protection program. It's 8:50.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
On Giving Tuesday, it's an amazing story that I'll tell you next hour about a woman in need of a bone marrow transplant. And the National Bone Marrow Donation site is an important one for you to keep in mind as well. It's called BeTheMatch.org, and you can literally save a life.
Our own Molly of Molly and Pete Save Christmas, she does a lot of work with One Tail at a Time, so she asked us to mention OneTail.org for Giving Tuesday.
Good. Thank you, Molly, for that. John, you are assembling a list of charities that we should avoid. These aren't on it. These are the good ones. Team World Vision for Clean Water, the Northern Illinois Food Bank, SolveHungerToday.org. The Greater Chicago Food Depository was in the other day. There's a podcast up for that. And is the Doc Most podcast up as well from yesterday?
Pete is probably with our choir, so.
Oh, so I'm assuming it is.
Yeah, I'm sure he puts it right up.
Doc Emmerich, Doc Most, both great medical doctors.
You're only doing PhDs.
Only doing doctors. And Greater Chicago Food Depository. I'm forgetting, but there's a couple others. Anyway, if you go to the.
You did Pat and Eric. They kicked it off.
That's right. Yeah. Pat Brady and Eric Edelstein. Mm-hmm. So anyway, give it a listen. Podcasts are up, and those are longer form interviews that we don't have time to get in all that stuff here on the regular program. All right, John, do you have a couple we should avoid?
Yes, Kardashian for Kids.
Kardashian for Kids.
Yeah, this is money that goes into teaching small children, actually explaining why they should even care.
Okay. So it's sort of an apathetic take on
right,
things.
Right. And then,
1-877 Kardashian for Kids. KARDASHIAN, you know, for kids.
Hopscotch for Gold.
Hopscotch for Gold. How does that work?
Well, it's a group that won hopscotch in the Olympics.
Oh.
And they're raising money right now.
Are you sure that was an Olympic sport?
Yeah, hopscotch for Gold.
Okay.
I think they're raising money for Chuck.
All of these are things that we probably should.
No, I would not. I would not
Giving
put my
Tuesday
money into these things.
GivingTuesday.org and share it on social media. Obviously, one of the best groups we've ever had in to sing for the holidays are the Woodstock Madrigal Singers. They've been working out in our performance studio, and they're going to do a song, or John, as you like to call it, a number. For us now, as we head to the top of the hour, and they'll sing a little more after 9 o'clock as well. So here on 720 WGN, the Steve Cochran Show, the Woodstock Madrigal Singers. When you're ready.
Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong.
I saw three ships come sailing in on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. I saw three ships come sailing in on Christmas Day in the morning. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong.
And what was in those ships of three on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day? And what was in those ships of three on Christmas Day in the morning? Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong.
Our Savior Christ and His Lady on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. Our Savior Christ and His Lady on Christmas Day in the morning. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong.
And all the bells on earth shall ring on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. And all the bells on earth shall ring on Christmas Day in the morning. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong.
Then let us all rejoice amain on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. Then let us all rejoice amain on Christmas Day in the morning. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong.
Wow. Very nice. That's allegedly the Woodstock Madrigal Singers. Obviously, they're the professionals that we hired playing the role of a high school
unbelievable. Singer. We were all looking out at the snow while they were singing.
Yes.
It was perfect.
They are unbelievable. They're just unbelievable. They blow me away every year. Anyway, they're going to do some more coming up.
Yeah.
Texter from the 224 says, so excited to hear my daughter Lacey and the Woodstock High Madrigals this morning. My daughter told me she'd say hi to Steve for me, thinking we were friends. I told her, you, Steve, have no idea who I am. That's not true, John. John, Dad. Any proud dad is a friend of mine.
Dad, I'll say hi to your friend. He's not my friend, but I listen to him.
Thank you for listening, John. Again, more coming up from the Woodstock Madrigals. The news next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN.
All tied at 16. Here comes Stafford. And he
picked off, and it's going the distance. Eddie Jackson, for the fifth time in his young career, has a touchdown.
Last week was an orchestra. Now look at this. Now calisthenics.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Motown. The Motown dance was great. That was an awesome touchdown celebration.
It was good. It was very good.
Yeah, that was the best one I've seen of the year. I was the like, greatest awesome. In Detroit. Thanks.
The greatest threat on the Chicago offense right now is Eddie Jackson. Yeah. Adam Hook joins us. Hi, Adam.
Careful, Steve. They will put him on offense.
Yeah, we don't want that. How many times have we seen that? Somebody's
Matt
having
Nagy
an exception. Oh, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Leave him alone. Good news for you, Adam Hoag, because the Woodstock Madrigal Singers are here, and they're so good, we don't have time for Stump Adam Hoag today.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, don't thank me. Thank Woodstock.
That's not what he told me over the weekend. He actually is always he's a little disappointed when you say
really?
We don't have time for Stump Adam yeah. Hoag.
It's been a while since we've done it, so.
See?
All right, so Stump Adam Hoag. next time. 815, thanks, Steve, for giving the Woodstock Madrigals airtime. My son Preston's a member and was looking forward to being on your show. They're all very talented. And I went and I saw John's daughter. You know, John and I are good friends, if you're listening to the last
time. Right.
Did she say hi to you like John said he would?
Yeah. They're really super talented. Anyway, we'll get more of them coming up here in a little bit. I was probably more impressed with the Thanksgiving Day win, even though it should have been shocking, than I was with any other win, because you had the backup quarterback, Adam Hoag. You had a game on no rest, and it made it feel like they're actually real for the first time. It knocked the cynic out of me, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I call it a gut check win. I mean, the game 4 days earlier was sort of a prove it, you know, that you're really a real team that can compete to go all the way this year. But I think that in a different way, the Thanksgiving win over the Lions was very similar, just because you had a lot of things going against you. And we talked about it last week leading into that game. And even when we talked last week, we weren't entirely sure if Trubisky would play or not. He ends up not playing. And there was just all those things going against you on Thanksgiving in Detroit, in a game that matters a lot to the Lions. You knew they were going to give a better effort than they had a couple weeks earlier at Soldier Field, and they still managed to pull out the victory, even if it wasn't pretty. So I'm with you, Steve. I thought that was a very, very impressive win.
And you got a game in hand, so why would you play Trubisky this weekend if he's at all questionable?
Yeah, so we haven't had any availability with the Bears since Friday, and we haven't seen any of the players since Thanksgiving. So it's been a while, and the locker room will open up here in about an hour and a half, and maybe we'll get a better idea of what's going on with Mitch. But I'm sort of with you at this point. If there's any doubt at all with that shoulder, if there's any pain at all, I think I would sit him one more week. I think it's very similar to the Allen Robinson and Khalil Mack situations the week before you played the Vikings. You want to make sure they were ready for that big game. And it's the same thing. Next week, you're hosting the Rams at home. It's another prove-it game. It's an opportunity. You know, it's not completely out of the picture if you beat the Rams to still be able to get a first-round bye in the playoffs. So it's a big game next week. And you can't overlook the Giants by any means, but you want to make sure Trubisky is right. I'm still nervous about this injury only because it's his throwing shoulder. We're talking about a quarterback and his throwing shoulder. So even if it's minor, and even if there's only a little bit of pain, I want to make sure my quarterback is 100% healthy as we go into December and the playoffs in January.
You know, you made a point about getting a first-round bye, and right now they've got the third seed. Seems unlikely. I don't know about you, Adam. After watching the Saints, it seems unlikely they're going to overtake New Orleans for the number one seed.
The Saints are so good, they can beat Alabama.
I wouldn't put it past not the way they're playing. You're right. I mean, that game with the Rams, if you can avoid stumbling here, that game with the Rams, at least you would have potentially a shot there to overtake them. Although their schedule, aside from that game, isn't very tough either.
No, and you need some help. You need them to lose another game somewhere else. But it's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I got to be honest. I wouldn't be all that scared about the Bears going into Los Angeles in a playoff game at the Coliseum. It's not the greatest home field advantage. Nice weather presumably out there for that game. It, going into New Orleans against the Saints is different. So look, but it does save you a game. It does save you a game, and it does save you an extra road game the week later if you can get that first round bye. So it's still something to play for here. And again, it's still no matter what they're playing for the playoffs. It's a Sunday night game against the Rams. The entire country is going to be watching that game very closely, and it's a big one. You'd like to have Trubisky playing in.
Chase Daniel played well. I guess that's the question for you looking at the tape. What sure. I saw was, what we lose with Mitch Trubisky not on the field is mobility. You saw Chase Daniel, when the pocket collapses, there's not really much place for him to go. How different are the games, and how did Chase Daniel do looking at the tape on Thanksgiving?
Well, I think it's a perfect, it was kind of a perfect situation for Bears fans watching that game, because in one regard, it made you appreciate Mitch a little bit more, right? If you've been doubting him, you realize that, he does have a better arm. He's a little bit more mobile. I think last week at some point I called Chase Daniel Trubisky light, because he's similar. It's a similar quarterback, but just he's just not good at every single thing, like as good as at every single thing that Trubisky's good at. So, but on the other hand, and this is very, very, very important in the NFL, Chase Daniel still did enough to win that game. So he didn't kill you with turnovers. He ran the offense efficiently, and he made key throws when he needed to. That's exactly what you want from your backup quarterback, and many teams don't have that. So I think this is another instance where we have to give GM Ryan Pace credit, because not only did he go out and find a good young starting quarterback that is ascending and I think is going to be pretty good, but he found not only a good enough backup, but one that fits this offense very well. So Chase Daniel did enough, and you feel comfortable with him as your backup, but yeah, you still like Mitch Trubisky a lot as your starter.
Ryan Pace trusted Matt Nagy, and he liked Chase as well. It's not sure. Like he just went and found him on his own. He was somebody he had worked with. So, Adam, as fans, you know, we were all yesterday or Sunday, the Packers Green Viking game. They were all like, who do we want to win? Who we don't want to win, you know, as fans. Inside Halas Hall, was there any discussion from Bears if they cared which team won, which team they find is the bigger threat to them overall?
I mean, again, we haven't really talked to anyone since Thanksgiving, so I don't really know. But if I had to guess, knocking out Aaron Rodgers isn't a bad thing, and the Packers are pretty much out of this at this point. Personally, for me, I haven't been that worried about the Packers all season, and so I thought it would have been better if the Vikings had lost to increase that lead even more. But it's not a bad thing to have Aaron Rodgers knocked out at this point. I mean, they got to win out and get a lot of help from the Bears. It just seems unlikely at this point.
Is there something wrong with Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I think
emotionally,
the Packers are what's wrong with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but honestly, he did things the other night that I have not seen him do. I mean, he took coverage sacks and he didn't throw the ball away. And I know he was getting pressured, but I don't know. He doesn't look right.
The media in Wisconsin has been on this for a couple weeks. He's not having that great of a season. He pulled out a miracle in week one against the Bears on one leg. Other than that, he has had a lot of poor performances and has missed key throws this season. What I think is wrong, and you brought up the word emotionally, I think he doesn't have any faith in his head coach anymore. I think there's a huge disconnect between Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers that has developed. I think it's the number one reason why Mike McCarthy will be fired at the end of the year, and Aaron Rodgers is going to have a lot of say over who the next Green Bay Packers head coach is.
By the way, in the group of NFL coaches, there's not a lot of guys that look terribly healthy, but McCarthy's never look less healthy. I mean, he's wearing the stress really hard.
Yeah, I thought he looked like he was crying in the post-game interview.
Good.
It's a tough situation.
Is he still with Danica Patrick? They're still together, right?
Mike McCarthy is.
Yeah, that's part of the problem.
Aaron.
Yeah.
That's why Aaron Rodgers is upset.
Yep.
Oh, man. Guys, there's kids in the other room.
And Chase Daniel's a great soap opera name. But none of this relates to the conversation.
No.
All right. So I want to talk about something else here, because we'll have time to discuss the Bears as the week goes on. I want to talk to you about the Northwestern Wildcats.
Sure.
Now, you see this team all year long. Dave and I both believe that Ohio State isn't even going to show up. That's how scared they'll be on Saturday night. Can Northwestern beat Ohio State?
Can they? Yes, because this has been the team's MO to play up to their opponent when they're the underdogs. They've done it all season, so I don't know why you would doubt Northwestern on Saturday. Now, From a matchup, if I'm just going to look at it from a football schematic standpoint, I'm a little worried, mainly because of Ohio State's speed. And we were kind of talking about this in the booth before the game on Saturday. I was making the argument very strongly that I wanted to see Michigan more than Ohio State, because I just thought it was a, you know, more of a Big Ten physical style of football that Northwestern matches up better against. So they're going to have to run with Ohio State, which is a scary proposition. But we've also seen games where Ohio State has not showed up this season, and their defense isn't
All the other games. I mean, they won a lot of games. But this past weekend, they were rock stars at a level nobody expected that they would have to repeat. This is why I think it's going to be a very competitive game, and I think Northwestern absolutely has a chance to win it.
And also Northwestern's healthier coming into this game. They have their best...
Emotionally?
I think emotionally they've been pretty healthy, physically they're getting some guys back on defense that they will need against Ohio State in that speed.
And also, I think we'll hear more about this as the week goes along, as we get closer to our broadcast on Saturday, but Pat Fitzgerald has done a tremendous job over these last 3 weeks building up to this game, this idea of playing championship-level football. And I don't want to use the word preseason, because I don't think he's used those words, but it's sort of building up to this big game with that win over Minnesota, and when you know treating them like stepping stones up to this, so they're going to be ready to play on Saturday.
Big Ten Championship Saturday night. What time, Dave?
We're kind of going to start things off for like around 4 with Carm and Harry, and then 6:30 from Lucas Oil Stadium, and then the kickoff. And actually, Adam Hogue and I are going to go down to Bloomington for the Wildcat basketball game against Indiana, which starts at noon.
Well, you have time to get back for the football game? What happens if there's traffic?
I'll have time. Well, there'll be some traffic. But
you got time to stop and get a sandwich?
I don't think we'll have time for a protein wrap, but I'll get back.
You know Dave will have that police escort.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
That's right.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Adam Hogue, and read your blog where?
WGNradio.com/Bears. Have a good day, everyone.
All right, see you later. That's Adam Hogue waiting on the Bears to let him into the room. Not just him, the other reporters as well.
The Giants lost to the Eagles this past weekend, but they have rounded in the form.
Yeah, they're playing better.
They're going to be a tough... I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears sit Trubisky that this could be a loss.
Well, how about Northwestern? Can Northwestern beat the Giants?
I think they could beat the Giants.
Yeah, so do I.
Saquon Barkley, though, didn't Saquon Barkley beat Northwestern?
They did the best job against Saquon Barkley last season than anybody.
I think. Saquon Barkley is dating Danica Patrick?
That's correct. Yes. Okay.
You got it.
John DeCosta is the musical director of the program. Your thoughts on the Woodstock Madrigal Singers?
It's the best I have ever heard in my entire life.
They're tremendous. The boss is in here. Sir, your name?
My name is Brian Joswiak. I'm the teacher and director at Woodstock High School.
Since we last saw you, you weren't removed?
I was not removed, fortunately.
Good. You got a plug?
I do. This group that you've heard this morning is one of 6 choirs at Woodstock High School, and is one of 2 audition groups.
6 choirs?
Yeah.
Does anybody go to class, or do you all just get together to sing? I mean, it's not that it's a bad thing.
They actually do go to class. A lot of these students are in AP classes, honors classes.
It's amazing.
They're really involved, and they manage. Many of these students have 0 hour, which means they're rehearsing every day from 7:20 to 8:10. And this morning they had kind of double 0 hour because we were on the 6 o'clock train into the city. So it was
appreciate that effort, by the way.
Early morning.
Thank you for that. All right. So where can we see them? Where can the public see them?
Yeah, definitely. So today, actually, we're going to be around the city. We'll be at 1 North LaSalle singing at A5 Headquarters, which is a marketing company that promotes Woodstock and promotes local businesses at Woodstock. So we'll be singing at their venue, 1 North LaSalle. We'll be at the Chris Kindle Market from 1:30 to 2:30, singing at their performance venue. And then in the future, we have the Madrigal Dinner, which the students were traditional Renaissance and Elizabethan costumes, which is... a treat for them and for the audience. And that is December 7th and 8th at 7 p.m. at the Bull Valley Golf Club in Bull Valley.
Sure.
And reservation forms can be downloaded at our school website, at the activity page of our Woodstock High School website. And you can download the reservation form there. And then we also have an exciting opportunity where we're performing at the Woodstock Opera House alongside a professional Steinway pianist. Her name is Robin Spielberg.
Cool.
and the students are going to be singing carols and participating in a sing-along with Robin. And all of this is sponsored through Real Woodstock. It's December 12th. It's Wednesday, December 12th at the Opera House. And Ethereal Confections is a delicious local business that serves coffee. So it'll be free hot chocolate. So if you're into hot chocolate, come to that event. And
well, hot chocolate's nice, but come for the talent of these kids.
They're amazing. Woodstock Opera House, too.
Yeah, exactly.
And, yeah, gorgeous building, too. So,
John, any thoughts before we hear one more?
They are the best I have ever heard in my entire life.
That's why he's a musical director. He has insight. And do you need to conduct these guys? Or are they ready to go?
I'm just going to let them take it away.
All right. What are they going to sing?
So the next tune they're going to sing is a bit of a slower one. It's called Maria durch ein Dornwald ging.
Oh, the old classic.
Yeah. Anybody take a guess on the language of that one?
I thought I heard a little German in
that. It is German.
Yeah.
And we've really enjoyed working on this one because it's a little bit mysterious, a little bit... It's an older tune, but it basically tells a story of Maria, the Virgin Mary, walking in the woods, and she's carrying the baby Jesus before he was born. And
does Wiener Schnitzel come into the song at any point?
I'll let you be the judge.
Because it's tough to rhyme with Schnitzel.
Yeah. Right.
Whenever you're ready.
Okay, take it away.
Maria durch ein Dornwald ging, Kyrie eleison. Maria durch ein Dornwald ging, der hat in sieben Jahr kein Laub getragen. Jesus und Maria.
Dass du Maria unter ihrem Herzen Kyrie eleison. Ein kleines Kindlein ohne alle Schmerzen, dass du Maria unter ihrem Herzen Jesus und Maria. Da haben die Dornen Rosen getragen, Kyrie eleison. Als das Kindlein durch den Wald getragen, Jesus und Maria.
Tremendous.
It's tremendous.
You guys should give yourselves a round of applause. Don't be shy.
Unbelievable.
And by the way, you look great on TV, on CLTV as well. You should be very proud of these kids, and I'm sure you are.
Definitely. Yeah, they work hard, and we're...
And each year, we didn't say this, John, but each year you do throw three of the kids out of the group. Do you want to name them today?
We do have one that's at home with the flu, though.
Oh, no! Which kid?
Yeah, shout out to Christopher Crenshaw.
Oh, dude, sorry you're not feeling good, man.
Yeah.
Can you do a couple more forward, Dan?
Yeah, definitely. We have two tunes that we would love to sing for you before the show's over. We'll do it.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle, when the sun's coming up, I got cakes on.
So we're clear. This is not the Woodstock Madrigal Singers. That's John Denver. Big O. Oops, sorry, kids. Hold on. Big O joins us. And,
good morning.
I just wanted to hit you with a couple of things. One, you just mentioned the threat of Trump tariffs is doing what to the markets?
Sending the markets lowered today. Anytime the conversation comes in on the China-U.S. trade dispute, the market tends to go lower. And, of course, the president said, according to the Wall Street Journal, president said that he was more than likely going to raise the tariff to 25% from 10% on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods that come into the United States. And so that sends the stock market into concerns again today. But we really won't know anything until Thursday or Friday when the meeting takes place and comes to a conclusion. Then we'll know for sure, but now it's guessing.
And Wisconsin dairy farmer trouble, this is like a home game for you. You were a kid on a Wisconsin farm.
Right.
And the third generation farms and fourth generation farms and fifth generation farms, for many farmers, the price they're getting for their milk hasn't covered their expenses. So what's happening here?
Well, we're seeing a lot of dispersal sales, and a dispersal is the entire herd being sold, not holding an auction to auction off individual cows. And some of that is because of economics. Some of it is also farmers are at an age where they decide they don't want to get up early in the morning to milk cows. And so they're retiring from the business. But yes, the challenge for the dairy industry has not been helped by the talk that Canada will relax its trade regulations on dairy products from the United States. And there's no question that at the price of milk now, we are not covering the cost of producing it. And then the other challenge we have, we keep producing more milk, but people are drinking less milk today than they did back in the 70s. We've just seen these other beverages from soybeans and coconut and almonds and other various sources that are not dairy, but we've seen them cut into the market as well. Because I probably drink as much milk now as I did when I was a kid, but a lot of people aren't.
Yeah, it's a true story. The Woodstock Madrigal Singers are here. Do you have any requests?
Yeah, anything they can do, that'll be fine. Because how many years have we had the Woodstock Choir in?
Oh, I don't know.
I think 50
forever.
Or something.
Yeah, forever. They're great.
Yeah. They really are, and we have friends in Woodstock, and so we're proud of what they do, and I can't imagine a better venue than the Opera House at Woodstock for a performance by the choir.
That's where you did your first opera, I know.
Yes, right, yes. I did, I forget the title, though, but yeah, that's where I did.
Thank you for the information, as always. Let's hope for better news later in the day on the markets.
Okay, very good. You have a good day and a good week.
Thank you, sir. And here come the Woodstock Madrigal Singers again on 720 WGN and CLTV.
So the next tune they're going to sing, actually.
Oops, tell me again.
That's all right.
The next tune is?
The next tune that they're going to sing is written by Alfred Burt. This is one of the Alfred Burt carols, which Alfred Burt composed carols during the mid-20th century and established a tradition of writing a carol every year, and he would send it in a Christmas card to his family and,
nice.
And loved ones. And this is one of those tunes. It's We'll Dress the House.
All right, here we go on 720 WGN.
We'll dress the house with holly bright and sprigs of mistletoe. We'll trim the Christmas tree tonight and set the lights aglow. We'll wrap our gifts with ribbons gay and give them out on Christmas Day by everything we do and say. Our gladness we will show. We'll dress the table daintily, our finest treasures use, that all a sparkle it may be, and bright with lovely hues. And for the feasting we'll prepare a kitchen full of wondrous fare, and each from all the dishes rare, his favorite one may choose. And ye who would the Christ shall greet your heart also adorn, that it may be a dwelling meet for him who now is born. Let all the lovely things give place to souls bedecked with heavenly grace, that ye may view his holy face with joy on Christmas morn.
Very nice. I'm sorry. Microphones are off because we were still mesmerized by the music.
Yeah.
And you guys are fabulous. We're going to come back and do one more in a second. But
back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Got some more charities we'll run through before we get to 10 o'clock. I saw Bill Leff in the building. I think he's doing his own show today. But let's get the Madrigal Singers on one more time before we run out of time. Again, identify yourself. Sure.
Brian.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Brian, last name?
Joswiak.
Hey. None of us can pronounce it. That's why we have to keep having you say it.
Yes, and your title is?
I am the Woodstock High School Choral Director.
Yeah, the Whitmaster. And these kids, how many total?
There are 22 students, and one is sick, unfortunately.
Yeah, and again, shout out to them. All right, so what are they going to do for this last one?
The last tune that they're going to sing is by the grandniece of Alfred Burt. So the carols that were written on holiday cards, Abby Butinus has continued that tradition. She is a composer in Minneapolis, and she wrote a carol called Carol of the Stranger. And basically, the text talks about the way that we ought to treat strangers and urges us to be more open-minded and sharing the peace with others.
Here you go on 720 WGN and CLTV.
Peace and grace be to this house where all are welcomed in. Receive the guest, receive this heart. Tell the stranger, tell.
I know choirs.
Well, that's a shock to all of us.
11-year-old who, they need to do some work to catch up to these guys.
That's tremendous job, you guys.
Hey, can we get a mention in for Jasmine? She's the producer of Bill and Wendy. Her charity is Chicago Spirit Brigade. It's chicagospiritbrigade.org. They are a cheerleading squad that does stuff for the community.
Okay.
You can donate money there to support them.
And it's on Giving Tuesday. We'll come back and tell you a few more before we're done. And then Bill and Wendy on 720 WGN. What's going on in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom? Steve will be there next. 10 o'clock now. And let me run through these as fast as I possibly can. Hi, Bill. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Steve.
Greetings.
I can't get all these in, but these are more charities that people texted in. They'd like a mention today.
Oh.
On Giving Tuesday,
Steve.
The Trinity Volunteer Corp at trinityvolunteers.org. They help folks with disabilities through inclusion. Lemons of Love creates care packages for people going through chemotherapy. 312 says Mercy Home for Boys and Girls. We certainly know that one. I hope this website is right. It's P-O-P-O-N Violence. Pop on Violence. It doesn't sound like an acronym they'd use, but poponviolence.org. Charity that guides students in the Chicagoland area to careers in medicine, which is great. Angel Wings Foundation, the Evans Scholars, you be golf caddy in the summer, be great at it. You could turn into, you can get a free college ride out of it. The Fox Valley Special Recreation Association, Camp Encourage, a summer camp kids for kids with autism. The Kishwaukee Symphony Orchestra, DeKalb County. Sorry, I thought I was in Georgia there for a second. And then there's this story, which it's really got to me. The National Bone Marrow Donation Site is something you should check in on because you can truly save a life. I have a friend that did this, and it's a life changer. It's called BeTheMatch.org. And there's a woman who is pregnant with twins who needs a bone marrow transplant from Southern California. She's expecting twins in 2 weeks. And she continues to carry those babies, even though she's dying. She needs a bone marrow transplant because of her leukemia, and she needs it immediately. Her name is Susie Ravica, and her story is one that you can make a difference on. Her sister thought she was a match. She was only 50%, and you could be the person that changes that. BeTheMatch.org. Check that out on Giving Tuesday. All right. John, do you have any?
The ones to stay away from.
Yeah, these are charities you should avoid.
Yeah, Save the Snails.
Save the Snails.
Yeah, a lot of people are trying to get rid of their snails in their gardens, but this will actually purchase a turtle for each snail to let them get out of the garden faster.
Oh, fantastic.
And then Make a Swiss Foundation.
What is Make a Swiss?
That's they want to go from rated 6 cheese in America to 5 and beat out Gouda. And then the last one would, of course, be Detroit.
That's not a charity you should contribute to?
No.
Thank you for all those, John. That's a good list not to get involved with.
Thanks.
I noticed you didn't do the one I mentioned to you. Rich?
Oh, yes.
Rolling in cash, homie? It's money for rich people?
Yes.
You just send more money to rich people?
Yeah.
This way, good?
Because they never have hard currency on hand. So. Huh.
Bill and Wendy are here. Nice to see you guys.
Hi,
again.
Steve.
I thought
nice
you'd quit.
No.
All right, and what are you doing today?
We're going to continue with the Giving Tuesday. Bill will give of himself today.
Mm-hmm. Until there's nothing left to give.
Going on?
No.
Maybe.
Nothing like that.
Wow. So that continues, but first Wendy says this.